Westminster Confession, Chapter 11 and Paragraph 2. Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and His righteousness, is the alone instrument of justification. Yet it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. Westminster Confession, Chapter 11 and Paragraph 2. So our subject is faith alone and yet not alone. Faith alone and yet not alone. This teaches us that justification is by faith alone, and yet that true faith is never alone in the justified sinner. First of all then, justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. We've seen that justification is the judge declaring someone and constituting them righteous, not guilty, and righteous. There is in justification not only pardon for sin, but the declaration of righteousness, because Christ's active obedience, as well as his passive obedience, his bearing the guilt of sin, is imputed to the believer. We, in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1, we read, "If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked." That is, they are to declare righteous the righteous, and to declare and condemn as wicked the wicked, and appoint suitable punishment. The wonder of God's justification in the gospel is that he justifies the ungodly. He is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So faith is here described as receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness for acceptance with God. And faith is called the instrument of justification. It is the alone instrument of justification. This means that when faith in Christ is exercised, then God justifies that sinner. But it is not, as we saw last time, not the meritorious cause or ground of justification. It is the means of justification. But justification is not on account of it, as if faith or faith and its fruit were an alternative righteousness. In other words, it's not that we're sinners, but well, our faith in some way makes up for the fact that we're sinners. The merit is entirely in Christ, and faith is depending upon, it is receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness. And it is those who believe that God promises he will justify. And it is faith alone. So John 1 and verse 12. John 1 verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." To them gave he power. The margin of our Bible says the right or privilege. That is, it's speaking of their status as the sons of God. Adoption presupposes justification, and it is to those who believe that he gives this power, this right, to be called the sons of God, those who believe on his name. Romans 3 and verse 28. Romans 3 and verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now the deeds of the law defines holiness of life, and holiness of life is an inevitable accompaniment of faith. But it is not the works of the law added to faith which is the instrument of justification, but faith alone, without the works of the law. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is by faith and nothing else. It's not, as we saw last time, it's not faithfulness, as the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses teach, that is, faithfulness to God, meriting acceptance with him, as they teach, that faithfulness to God, which they construe as faithfulness to the Watchtower organization, that, as it were, merits acceptance with God. No, it's not faithfulness, it's faith. It's not faith and foreseen works of obedience. It's not faith plus those works which are its fruit or are ordained to be its fruit. It's faith, faith alone. And faith is not to be justification. Is not to be confused with sanctification, as we've already seen. Roman Catholicism merges the two and makes the process of purification lead to justification. When purity is attained, a sinner is regarded as justified. And we must be quite clear on this. We disagree with Rome on what justification is, not only on what the ground of justification is. We disagree with what justification is. For Rome, justification is sanctification, the process of purification, whether completed in this world according to Rome or continued in the next. Its view of what justification is unscriptural, not simply the ground of it. A question may arise, but what about repentance? Is not repentance also a requirement? We saw Christ's words, we were looking at Christ's words recently in the morning service, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Does that not make repentance a requirement and not simply faith? Well, the reason that sinners will perish unless they repent is because there is no such thing as faith in Christ without repentance of sin. It's not an additional requirement. But it is inevitable that the sinner who trusts Christ turns from sin. A sinner cannot rest upon Christ and his righteousness without turning from all his aspirations of independence of God. And the essence of what sin is the desire to be independent of God. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the desire for independence of God is the exact opposite of dependence upon Christ for acceptance before God. So that there is no such thing as faith in Christ without repentance. We turn to Christ and from sin. It's upon apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ to such as are penitent that we turn from sin to Him. The second thing is that faith is never alone. Faith is never alone. The confession goes on, yet it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but worketh by love. Whilst faith is a distinct grace, and justification a distinct blessing from sanctification, it is never isolated from it in God's application of redemption to a sinner. So that there is no such thing as a justified sinner who has not begun to be and is not being and will not be sanctified as well. The justified sinner is justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Christ's merits are imputed to him as one who believes in his name. But there is no such thing as a man in that position who is not also being sanctified. So James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, that's Abraham, and by works faith was made perfect or complete. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And in verse 19, James contrasts the true saving faith with the mere acknowledgement of the truth of the gospel. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So that saving faith in Christ is not a mere acknowledgement that the gospel is true. The damned in hell will know forever that the gospel was true, but they never will love the gospel. They'll always hate the gospel and hate God. So we must be clear that faith in Christ is not merely acknowledging the truth of the doctrines of the gospel. The devils can do that, but they're still devils. That isn't resting upon Christ and his righteousness. It's simply saying, well, that is the way of salvation. But a man can say, that is the way of salvation, but I don't want it. And that's a dreadful position to be in. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's saying that those who have faith in Christ, it will work out in their lives in love to Christ and to his people and to his neighbor. That's why in 1 Corinthians 16:22, the apostle says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. There is then no such thing as a man who trusts Christ who hasn't begun to love Christ. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Inevitably, there's quite a bit of overlap with last week because it's very much the same subject. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them of the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. The willingness to believe on Christ arises from the new birth. The new birth is the cause of faith. So the forgiven man is a changed man. This is the argument in Romans 6. In Romans 6 and verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This is telling us that the believer has received a new nature. We are dead to sin. How can we, whatever that means, it means there's been a radical change. We can't just go on as before. The believer has received a new nature. That's why he was willing to believe in the first place. And his life cannot remain unchanged. This objection, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He doesn't in any way, in the face of that objection, modify the doctrine of justification by faith alone. He doesn't say, oh no, it's not really by faith alone. He doesn't do that. What he does do is say the man who is really justified by faith, the reason he was willing to believe is that he was renewed by the Spirit. He has a new nature. So he won't say this. He won't say, let us continue in sin, that grace may abound. He just won't do it. Because he has a new nature. He is a new creature in Christ. And so his answer, if you like, is to show where not to modify the doctrine of justification by faith alone, but to show where faith comes from, where it fits in God's application of redemption, so that there is no such thing as a justified man who is not a changed man. He's been born of the Spirit. That's why he is willing to trust Christ and be justified through his merits. And if he has a new nature, then it will show that faith in Christ will be accompanied by a turning away from sin, and the fruits of repentance will be evident in the life. Not perfectly by any manner of means, but they will be evident. So that in those passages which speak of the visible church and the branches, those which bear no fruit, the servant which did nothing with his talent or with the pound, where there's no fruit, there's no new nature, and there's no faith in Christ, and there's no justification. Because in the true believer, there is always some fruit. Whether it's 30, 60, 100-fold, there is always the effect of newness of life. And we can see the wonder of God's way of salvation and the way that these truths wonderfully harmonize. And if we're in Christ, they harmonize in us. We're justified, delivered from the guilt of sin. We're being sanctified, delivered from the pollution and practice of sin. And how we should thank God for the completeness of salvation, that Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Amen.